Now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, and we want to begin our reading at verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50, where we read, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of reading your word. We thank you for our teachers who taught us to read, and for the joy that we have in learning of that blessed revelation that you've given to the children of men. We want to thank you again for our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we seek to expound a portion of this that has been read, we pray, O God, to use it to search our hearts and to send us forth to be steadfast and unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord always, because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. This we ask, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a classic chapter in the Bible on the subject of resurrection. It begins with a gospel in the opening verses. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." And the gospel has to do with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It is a good news that God has intervened in the family of men, redeeming men from corruption. The hymn writer put it, "Our hope is in the Lord." He put it more personal than that. He said, "My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me, who purchased my redemption on Calvary's tree." And this is the truth of this present chapter. We have death, burial, and resurrection. Now, even though our hope is in the Lord, and even though we can sing this, there is an enemy that needs to be defeated, that needs to be destroyed. The Word of God describes death in those three verses, beginning in verse 54 and going on through 57. Especially when we think of the song that he sung, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" There is an enemy that needs to be destroyed. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, we all know what death is, don't we? Romans 6, verse 23 tells us. It tells us that the wages of sin is death. Notice, and we have to be clear on this, it does not say the wages of sins are death. It says the wages of sin, singular, is death. And sin has reference to the root, Adam's sin, has brought death, and it is passed upon every man. For death is the result of sin. Now, the apostle, even in our text, when he has the redeemed of the Lord singing, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And when we sing this, he doesn't deny the fact that death is a very gloomy thing. For he speaks of death as a sting. And he tells us where that strength of the sin is. The strength of that sting is in the law. But he moves on to the victory of faith. He says, thanks be unto our God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we want to think of these three things together. We want to think of the sting of death. We want to think of the strength of sin. What does that really mean? And we want to think of the victory of faith. What our Lord endured and which we proclaim as a gospel. Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel. And we declare the gospel as a victory of our blessed Lord, a victory in which all who belong to him will participate in a coming day. Death is pictured here, and the sting of death as an animal like a serpent that is able to bite and to cause great harm by its sting. I remember when the first thing we were told, almost the first, when we got to Nigeria, is never put your shoes on in the morning without first knocking them together real hard to make sure that there isn't a scorpion on the inside. Louise Opal, who was a nurse there, she had a scorpion in her shoe for about an hour. She didn't know it when she put her shoe on, and then it stung. And she said it was the most excruciating pain that she ever endured. She said she got sick all over immediately. Death is here spoken of as sting. The sting of death is sin. And when we read the scriptures, there is no hope of anyone avoiding death. No hope of it, you see. Each person must fight death. And in fighting death, they have to fight it personally. They have to fight it separately. And they fight it alone. Death is an awful monster. The word of God says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And everybody must die. For we read in verse 22 of this chapter, as in Adam, all die. And death for everybody is proof of Romans 5 verse 12, where we read, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon every man. There is no hope that we can slay the monster, for death is a portion of every man. When I was preparing in my thinking this message, I thought how wonderful it would be to sit by Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin was a great man. He was a bit immoral, but he was a great man as far as his mind was concerned and as far as inventions were concerned. Think of how good it would be to sit by Edison and some other great men that this world has produced. But death has claimed every one of them. No matter how great Ben Franklin was in the Poor Richard's Almanac when he wrote, count that day lost whose low descending sun views from thy hand no worthy action done. A man who is able to give great instruction to many. But he's gone. He's gone. You see, there is no hope that we can slay the monster. Sin puts a sting in death because it is sin that has brought death into the world. When Adam declared his independence from God by choosing to eat of the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, death arrived with him. In that day, they recognized their nakedness before God. And he hid among the trees of the garden when God came down. God said, Adam, where are you? He said, I was naked and I fled. He said, who told you you were naked? He didn't say, I have sinned. He didn't say, I'm guilty. He said, I'm unclothed in your presence. I'm naked. I'm stripped. They were naked all the time before. What a difference now. sin has brought the sting to death, for sin brought death into the world. Death now becomes a punishment for sin. And to the best and to the holiest man that you can think of, death has a sting. There is a sting to death, even for those who belong to the Lord. You see, but if there is sting to death, we have to ask the question, what makes death so terrible? Is sin that is unforgiven. I can't imagine what it would be like for a person who is outside of Christ to face death, knowing that they have to meet the one to whom they must give an account, and their sins have not been forgiven. That's a terrible part of death. Sin not forgiven. Looking back over sin, we hate it. And if looking back over sin, we hate it, what is looking forward to the judgment like when we look forward? An ungodly person looking forward to the judgment. Friends, we do not examine ourselves enough to see what sin will be like in that day. The Apostle James said, ye lust, and lust when it is, lust bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, it brings forth death. First of all, you have the seed. Then you have the blade. Then you have the full corn in the ear. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. As a man sows, so he reaps. And you never reap something that you didn't sow. You don't sow oats and get corn. But you like begets like. And that's what God ordained at the dawn of creation. But there's something involved in that. There is always an increase in the reaping over the sowing. You just sow one kernel of corn and you get a whole ear with hundreds of kernels within. Oh, my friend, what will it be like? We must ever remind sinners, we cannot forget it, that after death is a judgment. We are continuously being warned and reminded of death. Every time we see an undertaker's hearse, we're reminded of death. Every time we read the obituaries in the newspaper, we're reminded of death. But there's only one place that tells us what takes place after death. It is the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Every time that an insurance man comes to your door to sell you insurance or to collect for insurance, he's reminding you, you're going to die. You need insurance. It costs money even to leave this world. You see, as a poet put it, the beggar is taxed for a corner to die in. How true that is. The sting of death is sin. You can't avoid it. It's there. The psalmist could say, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou understandest my down sitting and my uprising. You know my thoughts afar off. There's not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. We may fool men, but we can never fool God. Sin has to do with God. The sting of death is sin. But we move on. The strength of sin is the law. It is true, friends, all of us have sinned. And therefore, that sin has put a sting into death. But before sin can be destroyed, the law has to be satisfied. The strength of sin is the law. And before sin can ever be destroyed, the law must be satisfied. You see, most people have an idea that sin has no strength. Oh, I can stop that if I want to. But they can't. Sin is strong. It binds its victims with tremendous cords. Cords that they're not allowed and they're not able to break. The law is spiritual. And it is impossible for us to live without sin. What do we mean when we talk about the law being spiritual, as we read in Romans chapter 7? For in Romans chapter 7, the apostle is dealing primarily with one law, the law of lust, the 10th commandment. God gave 9 commandments, and then he added that extra one. Oh, if he only wouldn't have added that extra one. Paul could say, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, that 10th, sin revived and I died because you can't see when a man is coveting. Coveting is in the heart. But no man ever commits adultery without coveting first. No man ever steals without coveting first. Achan said, when I saw the goodly Babylonish garment, then I coveted, then I took, lo, it's hidden within the floor of my tent. See, you can be coveting this morning in your mind. The person sitting next to you can't see it, but God does. Thou understandest my down-sitting and my uprising. You know my thoughts afar off. The law is spiritual. The strength of sin is the law. And before sin can ever be destroyed, the law of God has to be satisfied. The nature of law, friend, is to deal with what I cannot touch. That's the nature of the law, that 10th commandment. Oh, to the person without Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never been born of God, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, listen closely. How can you get rid of sin? How can you get rid and deal with your thought life? The law is spiritual, we read in Romans 7. And when I look at the 10 commandments and I read the 10th, I know it to be true. The law, you see, when we think of the jurisprudence of our system of law, we find a man outside of a building with a ladder and an open window. We say he's innocent till he's proven guilty. God says he's guilty because he has wrong thoughts. And because he has wrong thoughts, the ladder is there and the window is open. We may get away with things in a court of law in America, but no one ever gets away with anything before God. The strength of sin is the law. The law, friends, will not abate one detail of its stern demands. When you read the 10 commandments, there's no mention of pardon in the 10 commandments. If there is, you name it to me. Which one of the 10 commandments speaks of pardon? Not a one. Galatians 3 verse 10 says, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. You may try tomorrow. You may try tomorrow to remedy your mistakes of today, but it's too late. The strength of sin is the law. The law never remits a farthing of a debt. Never remits anything. You can never hope to overcome sin. And this is a blessed truth. This brings us to the victory of faith. There's only one way out. God has left us a way of escape. And the way of escape is faith. And faith alone. And faith operates through grace, not through law. You see, Christ has removed the strength of sin because he has removed the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We read in Romans chapter 10, verse 4. He has removed the strength of sin because he has removed the law. And how did he do it? He bore the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And he did it in order that the blessing of Abraham might be ours, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. By faith we receive. You see, the law demands perfection. It demands a perfect righteousness. And who of us can ever measure up? The wages of sin is death, and I have the root principle within. And I can't deal with that which is within. And the best news that a person can ever learn is that they're lost. They're under condemnation. They can never help themselves. They can never deal with that which is necessary to be dealt with. Only God can deal with it. And then after hearing the best news, comes better news. If there is something better than best, you see, it is that good news that Christ has completely satisfied the law. The law says, I demand perfection. He said, here I am. And he was perfect before the law. Then on Calvary's cross, he died under the curse of the law when he was lifted up on that tree on behalf of others. The message of the gospel is that God has done for you, poor sinner, what you can never do for yourself. That is the good news of the gospel. This is a do-it-yourself generation. I can do my own plumbing. I can do my own this. I can do my own that. I can fix my own car. But there's one thing you can't fix. Yourself. Only the work of Christ can avail. Nothing else will. Nothing else will. Christ has completely satisfied the law in our behalf. Christ is our substitute. And as our substitute, he kept the law for us. And through his death, he has removed its curse. All we're going to sing one day as we go up to meet the Lord in resurrection glory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto our God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ from the dominion of death has secured for faith a great victory. That's why it is by faith. By faith we look to what someone else has done on behalf of us as our substitute. And when we accept his work on our behalf, God credits it to us as having been accomplished. Oh, what blessed truth this is. Oh, death, where is thy sting? The last enemy to be destroyed is death. But faith gives us the victory. The victory of faith. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can say with another, a guilty, weak, and helpless worm, on Christ's kind arms I fell. He is my strength and righteousness, my Jesus, and my all. We find all that we need in God's dear Son. I'd like to ask a few questions in closing. Question number one, are you prepared to die? We don't like to think about it. Are you prepared? You're going to have to. You can't avoid it. And the sting of death is sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no escape. Are you prepared? How do you answer that question? How do you really answer it? Don't answer it to anybody else, but answer it to yourself. Am I really prepared? Question number two, or statement number two. This is what Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 is all about. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart, that's faith, that God hath raised him from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 is a chapter of resurrection. God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You know, yesterday we attended a wedding. Yesterday we saw Ann and Ted married. Suppose Ann is walking a little behind Ted down the street. Just a couple steps behind him. And Ted meets one of his old buddies. Hey, I see you got a wedding ring. Are you married? Yes, Ted. And Ted says, well, I'm not quite sure. How do you think Ann would feel? How do you think she'd feel? I know how I'd feel. Let me ask you, are you saved? You either are or you aren't. And here's the blessed truth of the resurrection. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, friends, here is a victory of faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You talk about the victory of faith. Whosoever, that includes you, my friend. Here's a free offer of the gospel to all men. Whosoever shall call, will you call? If you have never called, will you today? Furthermore, we have the free offer of the gospel in the words, whosoever is athirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I love that word. Let him come, let him take. It's yours to have. Let me ask you two questions quickly. Number one, have you come? The hymn writer put it, I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. If you've never come, will you come today? Today is the day of salvation. And my friend, I want to be your friend. I'd love to sit with you with an open Bible. If you've never come to Christ and you'd like to come to him, I'll sit with you with an open Bible and show you what God has to say concerning coming to him and believing in the heart and from the heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Unto us who are truly saved, we can sing from the heart, free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Cursed by the law. Bruised by the fall. I can't escape Adam's sin. But Christ has redeemed us. Once for all. Let's stand together and sing 274 in our hymn books. 274. Free from the law, oh happy condition. You may stand. Sure. Stand.